Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody, as we begin another broadcast day. It's Tuesday. We're talking about the political issues of the day here in Political Coffee, and we do that, as you know, with an idea. Well, an idea that you matter. You matter in your world, and you can change your world in a lot of ways. And it's not just prayer, but it's the belief that you have the ability to persuade the persuadable, and you do. And that's why we try to give you ideas about things you can say, conversations that you can start by talking about these issues every day here on Political Coffee. Got 2 hours, as you know. Stacey Ann is back. Good Morning Salem is on from 8 to 9. I'm on from 6 to 8. And as you know, we just play the first hour in the evening replay. So one of the things that you could say to start a conversation with people is this: is fighting back mean that you can apologize? Now, let me just say that again. Standing firm and fighting for what you believe means you may have to apologize. I'm going to explore that with you, because in politics, you're never supposed to do that. It is a sign of weakness. As a former state senator, Republican, told me, turned lobbyist, wealthy lobbyist, told me once, don't apologize. It's a sign of weakness. Is it? Or is it a sign of strength? We're going to get into that today. We're also going to talk about, well, Jonathan Turley, liberal professor, criminal law, constitutional law professor, wrote an article that maybe Donald Trump, instead of defending himself at the expected Senate trial, they're going to try to try Donald Trump after he has left office, maybe even later this week. He's throwing the idea out there that maybe the best option for Donald Trump is to just sit it out. Really? Do you think renowned fighter Donald Trump would do that? It is an interesting idea. We're going to get into that and talk about that. Now, why would that matter? Well, because I frankly want them to try the impeachment trial. I do, because I think it backfires on them in ways they can't even imagine. I think they know that. You heard me say that yesterday. Even Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the Senate now, is, I don't think maybe we want to go down that road. Yeah. Smart. Because you know what? They're doing some polling, too, and they're realizing this is not going over well with people. It's mean-spirited. It's piling on. Now, it's who they are, yes, but it ain't going to go over well. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Should you apologize, and in doing so, show you're strong? And should Trump just not show up to a Senate trial? Interesting piece, by the way, before I get into this first topic in this hour. You know, Tucker Carlson said something, and it's on the right scoop, and it is something awful has been unleashed on our country, quote. And it's his monologue about the Democrat crackdown on, quote-unquote, domestic terrorism. This is the thing that, you know, we alluded to yesterday about being afraid, because the Democrats are going to try to say that they are saying it right now. Crazy Democrats and their minions in the social media world, the media world, are saying that Well, you don't have a right to free speech if it's not considered to be what they define as politically correct speech. In essence, that's what they're saying. Nothing that this president said in that January 6th speech, nothing. And this will come out in a trial if it is actually held in the U.S. Senate. Nothing he said. Nothing incited anybody to do anything. You know it and I know it. Read the transcript. But the idea that there are Democrats who believe and who are saying that because we are Trump voters, we should be considered domestic terrorists. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. There are people who are saying that. Now, you think you can have a conversation with somebody who's persuadable about that topic in your world? Seriously. Because you and I disagree, I voted for Trump, you didn't. Am I a domestic terrorist? You say this to your coworker, to your friend or family member. Because there are people who are urging that I be classified because I voted for Donald Trump along with almost 75 million other people. They're urging that I be classified as a domestic terrorist. And my rights that are given to me in the Constitution to vote my conscience is now considered domestic terrorism. And my rights are going to be taken from me. My right to speak my mind publicly, carry a gun, protect my family. This is why we have to fight, friends. Now, I will tell you that the House Republicans here in Oregon have some ideas about reopening the Capitol and transparency. And this is on the Oregon Catalyst. You can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. But, you know, this is all good. They believe this is an unconstitutional session. Christine Drazen sent out her communique. Just like the Senate Republicans did. They sent out a communique saying this is an unconstitutional session because the people are not allowed access to the actual hearings in person. Oh, Democrats say, no, it's still constitutional because we're allowing people to watch it online and they can testify online. It is not the same thing. You can't talk to your legislator face to face. Transparency and public engagement. In fact, what they're doing is they're holding bills until the last moment. Some of them are now, in fact, we have it on good authority. I had a texting message with Bill Post last night that we had it on good authority that there will be reading of bills this Friday. Well, Thursday, kind of depending on how things go, because Antifa is going to be rioting on tomorrow on Inauguration Day around Portland. Who knows if they're going to be in Salem or not? I don't know. And if they try to gain access to the building, is the Democrat legislator going to give them access? Probably not. They'll continue with the prosecution of Mike Nierman. The Democrats will. But will Antifa, I mean, have you seen the boarded up lower? I mean, you can see all the pictures that have been out there, right? The lower windows of the legislature boarded up. So on Thursday, we were planning on doing a remote broadcast from the fountain area across from the state capitol building. But we're not going to now because it looks like our side is just hunkering down. They are. Not many people are going to show up. I'm going to show up after I'm off the air. I'm going to go on down there. And I'm going to wave my flag and I'm going to make the case that if you can go into the Marion County Courthouse like we did Friday in defense of Megan Marie, and thank you again to all of the members of the audience, including Glenn, who made a marvelous comments to Judge Hart. If we can go into the Marion County Courthouse, we can go into the Capitol building. To shut us out is wrong. But let me say this, and they, in this Catalyst piece, is these their ideas on reopening the Capitol. Here's the big question. The real question is this. All of your suggestions here are just suggestions that will be shot down by the ruling Democrats. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? When the Democrats try to ram their far-left radical agenda down our throats, where are you going to take a stand? Are you going to walk out? That's the real question that needs to be asked of House and Senate Republicans. We'll see. It is the only tool they will have, folks. Believe me, it's the only tool they'll have for a lot of things. So, is an apology in politics a sign of strength? And it is a way, is it a way to fight back? I say it is. Sometimes I go against conventional wisdom, and at this point, I am going to go against conventional wisdom. This comes from an Oregonian story about, yes, embattled Clackamas County, brand new Clackamas County commissioner, former Marine, combat veteran, Mark Scholl. The headline is, embattled Scholl apologizes for Islamophobic offensive social media rants, still declines to resign. Now, this particular story is written by a reporter by the name of Jeff Manning, who is a lot more fair. You see, the other one was written by this person whose name is almost impossible to say appropriately, who was using incredibly inflammatory words that a lot of people realized were, it wasn't objective reporting by any stretch of the imagination. You heard me talk about that. And I think that leaves the paper open to a libel lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit. Now, there'll be more about that as we move on in the coming days. Because here's what's going on. I am hearing through back channels in Washington, D.C., that Justice Clarence Thomas of the U.S. Supreme Court has made it known that they would be willing to revisit the New York Times versus Sullivan case, which basically lets newspapers skate on anything they want to say as free speech. So we're going to get back to the apology idea in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock. In a moment, we're going to chat with Clark. But you can also send me an email to jeff at 1220.am or jeff at kslm.news. Like the one I got from the hydraulic cartoon guy, who says, you know, I wonder if Biden would vet Antifa or BLM to protect him without questioning their loyalty to their cause. You know, since all of a sudden the National Guard is being called into question, their loyalty. What an insult. Don't you think? To me, that's just, I would be incredibly insulted. Just because 80% of the Guard votes for Trump, who cares? They're patriots. What an insult. But that's what the left does. It's absolutely what they do. Let's go to the phones. Go to Clark. Clark, thanks for calling. What do you say today?
Good morning, Jeff. I have something here to think about. It appears that Kamala Harris does not meet the threshold of natural-born citizen to serve as vice president. Her Jamaican father and Indian mother were just visiting the United States when she was born in October 64 in Oakland, California. And according to the original intent of the country's founders, she's not qualified to be vice president because natural-born citizen, according to the founders, means her parents would have to have been U.S. citizens themselves or naturalized citizens when she was born.
All right, so it's a fair argument to make because we prohibit by federal law people who are visiting, like diplomats who are signed, you know, from a foreign country to be in America for a time. If they have children on American soil, they are not U.S. citizens. So we've set the precedence for what you're just saying. Now, let me ask you this. Clark, do you think anybody's going to go down that road?
I doubt it. I know that I've been hearing on the lamestream news that that Biden is going to naturalize all the illegals that are here, so he'll probably just go backwards and put her in. That might be the reason he's going to do that, one of the reasons. Because,
well,
because if this goes to court, yeah, if this goes to court, it could be shown that she's not qualified. There was a letter from John Jay to George Washington in 1787 that stated that natural-born citizen is to be in the Constitution because we didn't want people in high office with divided allegiances. So there's something to this here.
Well, there is. And this is one of the things you bring up. We've talked about it before. This issue has never been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, as I understand it, Sheriff Richard Mack is trying to find a constitutional sheriff that will serve papers so that Harris would have to answer in court as to these allegations. I don't know how far that's gone yet because there's a lag between, you know, the information I have and what's going on today.
Well, the way that would happen is that Kamala Harris would be out and about somewhere in some county in America, and a constitutional sheriff would just show up and serve her papers. Now,
yeah,
they'd have to be able to get close enough to the vice president elect. You know, they'd have to work through the Secret Service. So, you know, none of this would be, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if it could actually even transpire, you know, but should it be, this issue needs to be decided in court because exactly the thing you've just said, Joe Biden plans to offer amnesty to all of the illegal aliens in America, over an 8-year time frame.
Yeah, doesn't that in itself pose a problem because it's ex post facto law where you're going backwards to legalize people?
Yes, but we've done it before.
Oh,
and Reagan did
well,
it, sadly, it and it was a mistake.
Yeah, it just shows how far out of sync our actions are in this country compared to what's written in the law.
I hate to say, but I think you're right. Hey, thanks a lot, Clark. I appreciate you calling. It's an interesting subject. All right.
Sure.
So if you apologize and you're sincere, does that work in human relations? Does it work in politics? The story by Jeff Manning says Clackamas County Commissioner Mark Scholl publicly apologized Monday for offensive and racist social media posts and thanked local Muslim leaders for reaching out to him. And the comments attracted withering statewide attention. He said, quote, at a press conference yesterday staged at a Muslim school in Portland, an event that was attended by a number of religious leaders from different faiths, he said, quote, I accept responsibility for every word, unquote. Quote, I ask forgiveness for adding pain, unquote. Quote, it is my hope that I leave here today with your forgiveness and maybe even your friendship, unquote. He also asked in his speech that people give him time to prove that he has a change of heart and that it's for real. Now, we're getting ready to go to the bottom of the hour break, but I want you to just think in your mind about forgiveness. Now, if someone apologizes, apology is one thing, but forgiveness is another. Asking people to forgive you is a deeper level. In my mind and in my own personal experience of life, it is at a deeper level. You know, when you apologize, yeah, you can be sorry for something that you've said, and because, yeah, maybe you may have offended somebody, and it kind of depends on how deep it was, the damage that you did with your words, or maybe even your actions. But asking for forgiveness is different. It is much deeper. So let me ask you this. If you perceive that someone is sincere in their apology, and especially if they say, I'd like to ask you to forgive me, does that mean in your mind that they're weak or that they're sincere and that it's really a sign of strength? Should this be applied in the realm of politics? It's 6:30 in the morning. I want you to contemplate that, and then let's talk about it on the other side of the break. 503-589-1220. The Power of Buick GMC talk line. Back in a moment. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. So is forgiveness is making an apology when you've screwed up and asking for forgiveness. Is that appropriate for politics? Do people buy it? Mark Scholl is doing that. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. Now, I was once told by a former Republican state senator who's a wealthy lobbyist in the Salem swamp that it's a sign of weakness. Don't do it. I think it's a sign of strength. It's not an easy thing to do. And it also means, especially when you ask, when you say the words, I ask for forgiveness, like Mark Scholl did yesterday at a Muslim school in Portland. Now, he's not resigning. Folks, this guy's a combat Marine. He's tough. But he's also willing to understand and to have a change of heart. He asked people to give him time. Do you think people will? Now, what I find interesting is that the Oregonians backed off a little bit. There's a different reporter reporting on this, because the other reporter went way over the line. Way over the line. Is this the right thing to do? 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Jim writes an email about gaslighting. I had to research this one for myself, and now I understand the rhetoric we hear coming from the leftist is weaponized speech, and undoubtedly the greatest threat to liberty we face. It's a perversion of First Amendment rights being used by some to take it away from others. It is pure evil. Yes, you're right. It is. And we must not let it continue. Must not at all. There's a lot going on out there, folks. and I'm going to get to the phones in a moment. Today is kind of a pivotal day. And the reason I say it's a pivotal day, because if Donald Trump is going to do anything monumental, it has to be today. I don't think it's going to be tomorrow. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's going to do anything. I don't think he's declaring martial law. I know a lot of people have those hopes up. I just don't see it happening. I think, yes, the Dominion voting machine should have been seized. I think there's clear evidence of it. By the way, there's an interesting piece that the CIA has become the KGB. No kidding. And it's on thelibertydaily.com. And it's, well, it asked a question, and it's an interesting one, because the CIA refused, just like they did in times past, to be honest with presidents. In this case, they hate this president, or at least the leadership of the CIA does. And, you know, they decided that they were not going to let their analysts, and this piece, by the way, is written by a former CIA analyst. It's really interesting. They're not going to let the analysts tell the truth about Chinese involvement in this election, China interfering. Now, it gets back to Dominion. I think Trump should have used his executive order. And in fact, here's something interesting. The fascism update. Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond are dropping my pillow over Mike Lindell's political beliefs. And Dominion Voting Machines is threatening to sue him. You know what he's saying? Bring on the lawsuit. Now, there is this little thing, again, as you've heard me say, called discovery. You see, when somebody sues you or you sue them under the rules of evidence, you have the right to go deep into their internal political affairs or their internal business affairs. Heck with politics. Dominion had better be really careful. Because all the stuff we already know that's out there publicly defeats the very things they're demanding these people shut up about. This is pure intimidation. That's all it is. They've sued Sidney Powell for over $1 billion. Good luck in discovery. Now, this is why I just say that I wish Donald Trump had done some things differently and had exposed all of this. Maybe it will be. It has to be. If we are ever to have faith in our elections again, it must be exposed. All right, let's go to the phones, as I said I would do. We'll start first with Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. Your thoughts?
You always have so many interesting topics. It's hard to know if I should do the one you're talking about right now or the one I called in on.
Okay. But, well, either one is fine.
Well,
or both.
I called in because you were talking about forgiveness, or stating that you were seeking forgiveness for something, and it's very interesting that he addressed his remarks to a Muslim school, because Islam is first of all subjugation, and the way Islam works is that if you go the direction that they want you to go, you get to be part of the club. I don't know how quite the language I should use here. It's a club. And if you don't go that direction, then you get nudged. They have specific ways that they do things. You get nudged, but in where they do not have absolute power, they will barter with you in the nudging. But once they have absolute power, there's no forgiveness. If you offend them at the level that he probably did, there's no forgiveness. They have three options. You either subjugate yourself, and pay the tax, the taxes that go with that. It's called the Jizra tax.
So,
you can be Islamic or you can die. There's only three choices. There's, in Islam, there's no forgiveness. In Christianity, we have forgiveness. But Islam doesn't have forgiveness.
So do you think that in your mind then that this was a tactically, it was a really smart move for him to go to a Muslim school and ask for forgiveness? Now, it wasn't just Muslims that were there, Rebecca. There were other people of other faiths that attended this thing. So given what you just said, that even though Muslims may not forgive him, or at least Islam in its, as you've described it, doesn't, do you think that it was an effective tactic? Do you think it sent the right message?
In politics, this is what our founders have taught me just from the reading that I've done. Politics is about force, and you force people to do things using the power of the government. And that's what Islam is. And it's not, Islam is not liberty. Our founders, as they fought the Barbary Coast Wars, became adamant that Islam was the opposite of liberty. And to subjugate yourself to them allows them to have the credence in our society that they are like us, but they are not. Islam is not liberty.
All right, fair enough. Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate it. We'll move on to Art. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. By the way, what's interesting is we see pictures all over of Kate Brown back in Washington, D.C. She's being guarded by the National Guard, except that every picture you see, none of the National Guardsmen have magazines in their guns. So are we really trusting the National Guard? I find it amazing. Art, what do you say? Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Well, I don't think apologizing is showing us weakness. I mean, if he believes he did something wrong, then of course he should apologize for it. And whether they forgive him or not, is of no consequence. In America, we have the right to freedom of religion, whether it be Christianity, you know, Islamic, or, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. And so, him making an apology, is not showing weakness. And obviously he's a vet. Obviously, you know, he's experienced things that we have never experienced. And so again, you know, that old saying, you know, don't judge me unless you've walked a mile in my shoes, is really appropriate. And so, I believe, it was appropriate to apologize, especially if he felt he did wrong things, even, you know, which he obviously did. You know, I do know that a lot of people, have done things, you know, like, you know, paint their faces black and all that kind of stuff, and they're still in office. And so this gentleman, made a mistake, admitted it. Let's move on.
Well said. 648.
Great day, Jeff.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Bill and Glenn. You know, Timothy sends me a lot of stuff, and I do appreciate that. I can't read it all sometimes. Interesting series of tweets from General Hyten, former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, U.S. Air Force. And he says a lot of very cryptic things here. This is most interesting. Pray for those who are putting their lives on the line for others. Nothing can stop this. They can no longer hide in the shadows. One step closer. Last hours. The Great Awakening. Storm. We're in this together, patriots. Why would you do that stuff? I mean, and he goes on. I mean, it just... They all know what's coming. The president is safe. Get ready. The whole world will hear it. Light. The truth will shock the world. Help will be provided. This account is maintained by me, General Hyten. By the people, for the people. Information warfare. Enemy of the people. Freedom of information. Truth equals end. Remember, digital battlefield. United we stand, divided we fall. Why would you say all those things? It's just... It's weird. But what isn't weird is the opportunity for us to have a big old party. Yep. It's the Freedom Celebration. You hear in the ads, and I want to invite you to come and join me because I want to meet a lot of you that I've never met before. It always is so great to put a face with a name. We're going to celebrate freedom, and we're going to honor the people that help us stay free. Our law enforcement, our fire, National Guard, our military, our veterans. And, yes, some fearless politicians who stand up and do the right thing. So come and join us. Please go to KSLM.news. I want to thank specifically Ticklicker Firearms and Freedom Heating and Air. Freedom Heating and Air, as you know, is one of our advertisers of this show and on this radio station. So if you need some work done on your furnace or your system, check out FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. Give them a try. They've been around a long time because they do great work for their customers. FreedomHeatingAndAir.net. And go to KSLM.news and register for the Freedom Celebration. To the phones. We'll go to Bill. Bill, good morning. Thanks for hanging on. What do you say?
Good morning, Jeff. God bless. I'll be real quick. My mind was thinking, and I'm in and out of the radio show. So I have one question. Is it possible to sue judges, not on the bench, but personally? Reaching constitutional issues. And the second thing is, have you touched subject on the House Bill 2238?
Yeah, I got to learn a little bit more about 2238 before I'm ready to talk about it. What I see I don't like to start,
yeah.
But we'll get into that. Yeah, because I'm getting a lot of stuff from a lot of people, and yes, it's a real bill. Can judges be sued for violating their oath of office? Yeah, they can be sued. I don't think it goes anywhere. I think it ultimately gets dismissed, because lawsuit, another judge would have to approve that, right, Bill?
Yeah.
To allow a lawsuit to go forward. You know, and that's a pretty exclusive club, and I don't think they're generally in the mindset to do that. Now, judges can be impeached in most states. We don't do that in Oregon because we don't have an impeachment statute, but a judge can be recalled here. So generally a recall in Oregon is, although I think it's rarely been used on a judge in Oregon, it's generally the way you would go. Now, a lawsuit is a different matter, and I don't think that has ever gotten very far in Oregon. I'm not even sure it's been tried. I may be wrong about that.
I think
they should be.
For recalling, how many do you need for a judge?
I would have to check that, but I think it's a fairly low number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
It is. Excellent question, Bill. All right, thanks for calling. Let's see, who is next? We'll move on to Glenn. Glenn, good morning. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I have some interesting thoughts about negotiations and how we live our lives. Missionaries, when missionaries go into host nations, they go into nations that don't have a constitution like America. When Jerusalem, for centuries, was divided, Armenian section, the Muslim section, the Jewish section, and the Christian section, huge negotiations had to go on among the people for them to coexist, and it's still that way. Berlin, when Berlin was divided after the war, the British section, the American section, the Russian section, and the French section. And so we've dealt with this sort of thing for many centuries, negotiating with multiple faiths, multiple governments within even small regions. And I don't know how we've done it, but we seem to fight through it and get to the other side. Even if Americand, if America becomes Americand and as losing its constitution at every level, we're going to be in a host nation ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's just a thought, how we negotiate through all of this as the whole world is changing and as it becomes more ungracious to the faiths of the people that are there as a host. It's just very interesting.
It is. So as a political concept, though, I mean, this idea of extending forgiveness and grace, I mean, obviously, for those of us who believe in Christianity, that this is the right thing. So does it have a place in politics? Does it have a place in nations?
Well, it absolutely does. There's no doubt it's been working that it's been going that way for many years, but many times we lose the battle. We're rejected and we're kicked out either politically or religiously. So the secular section and the religious sections do have consequences in these other regions. Our missionaries and our opportunities in China ended many years ago, and they had to withdraw from that country. It's a terrible thought to think how we may have to start withdrawing from certain areas of our country because they kick us out.
Well, the only way that happened in China is because the people didn't have guns and couldn't defend themselves. We at least have them for now. Glenn, thank you for your thoughts. Got an email from Lee about forgiveness. It says, what a great question. If one is honest with himself, when they hear an apology, there is a part of them that the apology doesn't matter. That's our sin nature of selfishness. The fear of loss with another or group is a big motivator to shift the blame. Those that understand that we all make mistakes and might have compassion to understand that it takes strength to admit when you're wrong. Depending on the situation, lots of strength. I have been taught by a master carpenter to forgive and forget. Sadly, many don't understand that to forgive and forget means you don't bring up the offense at every opportunity, but to be cautious until that person proves with their actions they didn't just say words. How true. Folks, back for one more hour, including should Donald Trump just not show up for a Senate impeachment trial? And how about this? The QAnon movement bears a striking resemblance to a Bolshevik psyop in the 20s. Back in the morning.